This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 438, recorded October 7th, 2015. I'm your host, Brian Kilby. With me this week, we have Matt, a.k.a. Melvar, Headmaster Don, John DeLuna, Rob Clay, Chris, a.k.a. XV. Diecast is on location at New York Comic Con's Hasbro event, and also Ant from TFU.info, also on location. Guys, how's it going?
Excellent. Hey. This event is awesome.
Yeah, I can tell from your Periscope. So we're going to break format and actually just talk about the content that we have or the news that we have right now. So let's go ahead and get started with all of the amazing Transformers reveals at the Hasbro event. What's the actual event, the theme, Merry Christmas or something?
No, it's just...
What's the night before?
Yeah, snowflakes on it, whatever.
Merry Christmas.
It's an awesome event. And basically the big reveal is Titan Wars and their headmasters. And if you follow the RFC Twitter, it's not John Warden going around and every time someone said headmasters, it's not headmasters, it's Titan Masters. So I don't know if that's the official title or still going with Titan Wars or if we're going to something else, a Return of the Titans. Whatever the tagline is, we're going around saying it's Titan Masters, and it's really neat, and the figures have a lot more detail than anything we've ever seen in either scale, like Deluxe or Voyager. They look incredible. They almost look like third party when you look at them.
That may or may not be a good thing.
To echo that, Titan's Return is the official name of The Hasbro guys have been calling them Titan Masters, which I think is a working name that they had, but it's the official name is Titan's Return.
Very cool. So let's go ahead and what was the biggest surprise, the biggest item that you thought that sort of jumped out at you? Was it Galvatron?
Galvatron. Yeah, Galvatron and Skull Smasher, which is really Skull Cruncher, but it's Skull Smasher.
Oh, really? Skull Smasher? Wow. It's very obvious Skull Cruncher. And it's kind of amazing that they went with that figure first as opposed to, like, a chrome dome or something like that. But, I mean, it looks really nice.
So, Brian, I don't know if you want us to walk you through the reveals as far as what's at the Titan Wars.
Yeah, please do. And there may be something that we missed.
Okay, so there's three little displays. They're probably about... I don't know. They're little tables, probably about 18 inches square, that have the toys on them. So if you start left to right, so left has Skull Smasher, which is a, I believe, Voyager class. He looks Voyager class, at least to me.
Voyager? No, I think he's a Deluxe.
Is he a Deluxe? It's entirely possible. They said every toy in the line has a headmaster feature, for the most part. So he's on that left table along with Nightbeat, which is a slightly larger than Minicon scale figure. Now, Nightbeat is just going to be a head that's named Nightbeat that has a vehicle that forms two vehicles and a weapons mode. And those are the $5, give or take, price point.
Yeah.
I think those are the only two things. Oh, and then Skylynx was also on that table.
Skylynx is the table. Other molds that we've already seen, Deluxe molds like Hound and Wheeljack and stuff like that.
Right, stuff from Botcon and from San Diego. From the middle table, there was Galvatron, who is also a headmaster. The headmaster, as the Hasbro rep Ed had said to me, looks like someone we might know from what I can take, from what I can gather from looking at it, it looks like Megatron.
Yeah, definitely Megatron.
In the little tiny robot mode.
But you had to say it from what you gather. So it doesn't feel like it's like a perfect resemblance.
It's not a good resemblance, and I couldn't hold it in my hand to kind of look at it. So, I mean, closest I got was by zooming with my camera.
Gotcha.
And it has a very Gene 1 Megatron look to him. So there's Galvatron, who also, we're speculating kind of that he may have a unofficial gun mode, but he has the, you know, the treaded tank mode with the treaded gun mode,
mm-hmm.
and the robot mode. Also on the table was...
They said all the Voyagers are going to be triple changers, so Galvatron is a triple changer, even though we only see two modes right now. So there is a third mode that we don't see.
Will this be the first time, at least the first time in a few years, that he transforms into a good toy?
Yeah, I hope so. continuing on that table, there was Bruticus, which we have seen in previous Galactic conventions.
Was he a big bad Bruticus?
He was not, because he's G1.
Oh, damn it.
When they make a G2 version, he will be a big bad battling Bruticus. And there was also Terry Bull, which follows the same scheme as Nightbeat in that he is a headmaster, a $5 headmaster figure. Looks like Horrible from the G1 series, and has the vehicle mode for Terry Bull and for Nightbeat very similar to Power Dasher's vehicle mode. So I don't know if that's an intentional homage to those toys, but it's very, very close.
Probably is.
And then if we want to take it down to the third table, the third Titan War, Titan Return table, I want to make sure I have that right, has Blaster. Blaster has a dummy cartridge that in his chest that does eject out and become part of him. I think you see it in the base mode. The base mode has a danger sticker that is inspired by one of the Micromasters. I couldn't tell offhand which one, but that was pointed out directly to us by the Hasbro rep. Blaster's head is named Twin Cast.
Nice.
There's also a Rewind figure that interacts with it. There's the Buzzsaw figure, which makes you think there will be a Soundwave remold or redeco down the line. And there's also a transforming tiger that turns into a jet that is named Stripes, which could easily be Steeljaw or Ratchet later on, Ravage later on.
Yeah. And then also with the Blaster, the cassettes, instead of going in long ways, they go in, basically long ways, they go in vertical. So it's a little bit different than the cassettes we've seen, but it's a neat, neat kind of change in the line.
Yeah, I mean, people don't know what cassettes are anymore. So I don't think it matters.
Also, there was a very, I don't want to call it, not slugfest. There was a Tyrannosaur figure, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's purple and white, and I can't remember the name, but
Overkill.
It was a new character overall.
I mean, Overkill is the name of the cassette.
Yeah. And they're also saying the faces will actually connect together. There's a piece on the end of the base. That will connect to the next one. And they kind of said, you know, for any larger figures that come out, this will be able to connect to.
Hopefully it'll work better than the way that stuff would connect, like with, in 1986, how stuff was supposed to connect to Metroplex and Crypticon.
Well, yeah, Fort Max.
Go ahead, Don.
Like Micromaster bases connecting together, pretty much.
Yeah.
So one thing that I'm surprised by is the deco on Bruticus. Hey, we saw Bruticus at BotCon, but this looks way better than what I saw. I really like the look of it. I'm actually surprised how much I like the look of it at this point. So in person, how is that looking now?
I would say it looks pretty sweet as far as that Bruticus goes. we've been kind of, I mean, me personally, I've been kind of overwhelmed by the Titans return stuff to really get close detail on those figures, but we can take a second look for yours for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. I didn't look at it that much because I was like, oh, this Titan return stuff is so incredible and so detailed. And they're Headmasters. And every time you say Headmasters, you get corrected to Titan Masters. But they look really good. I can't express how impressed I am with the figures, except especially for them being deluxe figures and Galvatron being a Voyager figure. They just don't look like what we typically get from Hasbro in those size classes.
So, question for you guys. In person, does it look like the Titan Masters would be compatible with Brainstorm and, was it Arcana? So, do they look like they might be in... Okay, they're not.
No. Yeah, they're definitely smaller. The Headmasters are small. The Headmasters are smaller.
Okay.
Yeah, the Headmasters are more in line with the 1988 Headmasters, as far as
Headmaster
size.
Juniors.
The Headmaster Juniors, so the Nightbeat, Siren, Hosehead, that series of Headmasters, these are much closer in scale to those.
Yeah, okay. and the neat thing is that those $5 price points, give or take, which are going to have Headmasters, all the Headmasters are interchangeable between the line. So I kind of asked, you know, how would the previous regime, like Aaron Archer, feel about these, you know, heads that can be lost and then the toy has no head? And they said, that's why we have this additional price point to, if you do lose a head, you can come out and buy another one.
Good point. I mean, that makes sense, but they also, I don't think they care what the previous regime would think.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so interesting that we're finally getting Headmasters. I mean, people have been asking for Headmasters for years and years and years, and now we're getting basically a line of Titan Masters or Headmasters. I mean, to me, that's impressive in itself.
That is impressive. So let's see here. Since you guys are short on time, guys, do you have any questions that we haven't been answered yet?
Did they give a sense of when this stuff would start rolling out to retail?
No, we haven't really asked either. I'm sitting down with Hasbro tomorrow for about 10 minutes. Okay. I will certainly ask that for you.
Did you guys? Did you guys ask about Power Master Prime?
No. What about Power Master Prime?
The Walmart listing. Yeah, the Walmart listing.
No, but again, Brian, I'm going to record this interview tomorrow, so you can include it in that either RFC Extra or RFC.
I love you, Ant.
Yeah. Hey, Ant. Ant.
Yeah.
One question. Why you got Hasbro's ear on an unrelated subject?
Mask. Oh, no.
Would you ask them about Mask and Visionaries?
No, don't. Don't ask them.
Let me ask them if they're going to make a Headmaster RC.
Oh, no. That too, but I figured that went without saying.
Tell them Headmaster Don made you say this, and then go into the question.
No, I'm just saying they trademarked all the masks and visionaries.
We have a question from Headmaster Don. Perhaps you've heard of him.
No, Titan Master Don.
Titan Master Don. Okay.
Right, now hold on. They're going to call Aaron Archer. They're going to get the picture of me that he had in his office that says, "Don't make toys for this guy." And then we'll put it in the new guy's office. So
awesome.
Thanks.
Any other questions for the guys?
Oh, well, Don, just so to put it in perspective, I just tweeted out the entirety of the G.I. Joe presence at this event.
Yes.
And it was four pieces of artwork that were hand-drawn. Not hand-drawn, but they're drawn and then printed out with some text. I didn't even read it. I just took photos of it and sent it out. But that's the entirety of the G.I. Joe display. So for a Mask and Visionaries display... I'll start looking at the tables because I don't know where it would be.
Right. Well, I'm just saying because they did trademark all the names and back in February.
I know, Don. I know. And Diecast, thank you for your time.
Yeah.
We'll spare you any more of Don for now.
Get you.
So, guys, do you have anything else before we drop you off?
There was a Devastator drink. I don't know if you saw that.
Devastator drink.
Yeah, there
was a devastatingly delicious, and it was.
Yeah.
So Diecast,
and they're making them strong.
Diecast, we are going to talk about Transformers Devastation tonight. Give us your 5-second review.
5-second review. It's a fun game. I like the graphics on it or the cartooniness of it. It does get a little bit hard to follow.
That's more than 5 seconds. We're good.
It's a fun game.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it. I do want
to
play more.
Brian, I do have a little bit to tack on because there were another 2 tables of Transformers stuff on display, and that was Robots in Disguise. We're getting more Warrior Class Decepticons, which is huge. We're getting a Quillfire figure, a Thunderhoof figure, the Toys R Us Megatronus that's kind of, I guess, already hit stores, as well as the Deployer guy whose name escapes me right now.
Because
I have
Fracture.
I am fortunate
the names
is going to drift away.
That's awesome. That's awesome, guys. I can't wait for a Thunderhoof.
Okay, so on the Robots in the Sky stuff, did they give a context for what the blue drift tree color was supposed to be?
No, they haven't. I can certainly ask about that because the TF team has been pretty much around the Titans Return display the entire time, and I've been trying to drag them over to the robots display and haven't been able to get their ear yet. But let me follow up on that when I go back in, because I would like to know about that. And there's a Strong Arm Legends recolor, there's an Optimus Legends recolor, and there's also a Warrior Hut Optimus recolor.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I just told Sprocket you're inside and he's looking for you. Be wary.
Run.
Harry, be wary.
Go back in and get another drink first, you guys.
Yes. Awesome.
We'll have will for you.
Awesome, guys. Yeah. So we'll talk to you later.
All right, guys.
We'll talk to you later.
Take care, guys.
Later.
Have a good night.
Later.
See ya.
Okay, cool. Hey, well, that was awesome. So I'm right now I'm looking at Hardhead, and I really want this.
Yes. I want Galvatron, because I've been waiting for a good Galvatron.
I want all of these, but yeah, Galvatron is my favorite.
So I will say...
Galvatron's a priority for
me. Yeah, I will say Galvatron's great, but, I mean, Tyrant does look pretty amazing, so it's...
Okay, so, like, I tweeted this earlier. Like, this Galvatron to me looks kind of like... It's almost like a War for Cybertron retouch of G1 Galvatron, and I actually really dig that aesthetic choice.
I get that.
So like I'm pretty jazzed for this Galvatron.
Yeah, that is pretty neat.
And apparently he's Voyager class, not leader class like I feared. So
I mean, I wouldn't mind a leader class Galvatron, because I don't mind Galvatron being huge. I'm just glad it's not a deluxe again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Indeed. Okay, so let's see here. What do we have in the show this week? So we had that. Also in the show this week, we have This Week in History. We have news. We have a discussion on Transformers Devastation because that came out this week. And we have more. So I actually wanted to start off the show, other than the breaking news. We do have a contest going on for our 16th anniversary. The 16th anniversary of Radio Free Cybertron, the first episode, one of the first podcasts ever. We're not just the original Transformers podcast, we're one of the first ever, but you know that. 16 years on the 15th, so next Thursday. But the show, the live stream next Wednesday, we will be giving away a copy of, and I think I have the actual copy right here, Transformers Devastation. It's for the Xbox 360. Most people have that. And to be completely honest, this was going to be my copy, but I ended up getting it on my PC so that I could actually stream it more easily than on my Xbox because it's a pain in the butt. So, for Xbox 360, all you have to do is like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TF Radio. And every day until Wednesday, I'm going to be posting a basically just a photo just reminding people that they need to share the link and like the page. And someone who does that on one day, I don't know which day, it'll be picked at random, will win this, and I will ship it to them. So, and it is available only to U.S. fans. So I do have to say that. But yeah, you can win it, and it's a pretty fun game. But we'll have more thoughts on it later on in the show. So I'm fighting a bad cold, so I'm going to try my best to sort of get through this as quickly as I can.
Yeah, let's move this along.
So, This Week in History, 1986, the greatest episode of the Transformers ever.
Bought?
Second greatest episode of the Transformers ever. Surprise party.
Minor?
Third. Surprise party. All about Wheelie and Daniel trying to find out Ultra Magnus's birthday. I still honestly love this episode.
The stuff of legends.
I really do. I mean, I love any episode that adds to the Transformers history and knowledge about Transformers. And this sort of delves into somewhat, you know, sort of Cybertron's culture and history a little bit. And it's great. I enjoy it. It's a bad episode, but I love it for that reason. Anybody else have any fond memories of this?
I was glad when it was over.
Yeah. You have no soul, Don.
But it was a Daniel and Wheelie heavy episode. How could you not love it?
It's exactly right. Neat. Okay, so moving along. So in the news this week, it was revealed, revealed quotes, by a Walmart inventory listing that there will be a Titan Wars Power Master Optimus Prime, which I posted on Facebook as being, this is the best news ever if you're approaching 40. So Titan Returns is really, in Combiner Wars, is really really turning out to be for the older fans. So,
no kidding.
Yeah, no kidding. So if you're a fan between, like, Robots in Disguise and, like, Transformers Animated, you're kind of SOL for a while.
No, I think that's what the current Robots in Disguise line is supposed to be for.
Yeah, I don't think it's working. So,
yeah, SOL.
Yeah, you're SOL.
Anyway.
Anybody surprised by this? It makes sense. Except it's another Optimus Prime.
But it's a Power Master Optimus Prime, so at least it's a little bit different.
Actually, is it a Titan Master Optimus Prime? Shouldn't all the Masters just be called Titan Masters?
Well, I was kind of thinking that, too, when they were talking about, you know, being corrected that they're not Headmasters, they're Titan Masters, because that could be, like, an easy catch-all for any kind of...
You could even call a Mini-Con a Titan Master, maybe.
Titan Master Don, what are your thoughts?
It's a lot. It's a lot to digest. I'll have to give it my full attention at a later date.
Okay. So moving along, New York Comic Con 2015, Hasbro to reveal Prime Wars trilogy with Titans Return, successor to Combiner Wars. Chris, you posted this news story. What does this tell us?
Okay, so basically, this comes from, I think, the Hollywood Reporter, who originally posted the article, and basically Hasbro's intention right now is to turn Combiner Wars into the first part of a fiction trilogy. So Titans Return is going to be part two, and then there's going to be a third installment for 2017, which has yet to be named or anything. Basically, they just
2017.
Decided, yeah, they're kind of reaching, aren't they? Yeah, so, you know, Titans Return will be next year, so it's going to be like one a year for these installments. And basically, just their idea is they're going to try to tie together more firmly the IDW comics, the toy line, and the animation coming from Machinima, which we should find out more about from the panel tomorrow.
Okay, cool. Very cool.
We did find out through this, though, that remember at BotCon, the line art on the posters, there was the shuttle dude with the Optimus head?
Yeah, that's what this is.
That's apparently Sentinel Prime.
Yeah. My favorite Sentinel Prime is still Sentinel Prime.
Animated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not that.
That's a tough one to beat. Yeah.
He's the best.
I mean, he's the Tick as a robot.
Yeah.
And a jerk.
He's the best. He may be my... He could be my favorite Transformer ever, maybe, honestly.
He is that jerk.
Yeah. If Chris were awesome in a Transformer, that would be him.
I'd be orange, not blue, but yeah. I mean, blue is a good second choice, but I'd be orange.
Yeah, yeah. What, Don?
Oh, never mind. Okay. I'll mention it when we get to the next article.
That's where I'm going right now. So we have new photos of MP28 Rodimus. And he is shown in comparison with Ultra Magnus, Masterpiece Ultra Magnus. It's about what I thought. But I do like the looks of them together. And I do love the fact that he comes with Daniel.
So, Don, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I was just what I was going to say was I was checking out Hobby Link Japan, and they now have Rodimus and Shockwave up for pre-order from Hobby Link Japan. With the current exchange rate, Rodimus is $53.30, and Shockwave is $111.93.
Now, okay, again, he's cheaper than I thought.
Oh, crap.
And again, you're going to have the shipping on top of that, but I've gotten all of my masterpieces from them except for Blue Streak, and it's been running about up to about 65 with shipping, give or take.
They also have Die Battles version 2 up for pre-order.
Yeah, I didn't put anything about that in the news because it's not Transformers, but
it's Diaclone. It's close enough.
It's pretty awesome.
Looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it does. And they also have the the Ultra Magnus reissue is also up for pre-order at $120.
He's worth that. He is definitely worth that.
So that's actually a good price. I mean, the only warning with that is when you do that, you're gambling that the exchange rate will hold up to what it is, and if it tanks back to what it was a couple of years ago, you're pretty screwed.
Yeah, you know, there is that. But I did want to let people know that, you know, if they wanted to go ahead and get some pre-orders in,
currently the prices are decent.
Now that I've seen the painted pictures of Rodimus, I'm feeling a little bit better about him with the way the layout is.
I'm not.
I feel better about him than I do about Ironhide.
Yeah, that's that too.
So. Yeah, I mean, like I was expecting when we were talking about those prototype pictures in color, things come together a little bit better, but there is still definite issues with how Hot Rod is designed.
He's still a bunch of panels folded together into a chest.
And he still looks kind of like an overweight guy who wears two small pants under his gut.
Yeah. No, he does. He does kind of have like a robot muffin top thing going on, and some of this is just inescapable for the shape of the robot mode they have to squeeze out of that car. Mm-hmm. There's not really a lot that you can do to mitigate that.
Now that you say that, I can't not see it.
But there is still the hope that this toy will not explode.
That's always a good, you know, quality.
Yeah, quality control has been a lot better since MP09.
I don't even think MP09 is a problem of quality control. I think it is flat out design flaws.
Design intolerant, yeah. It's because no,
I mean,
one
that's part of quality too. I mean, there are.
Well, no, I mean, like, for me, quality control is when it was being put together at the factory, nobody was really paying attention to how they were doing it. Design flaw, it doesn't matter how expertly it's assembled, it's still going to burst into flames one day.
But I mean, you should still get a sample. That sample should still tell you the toy is crap. So, I mean, there's no control over that.
Yeah, but like with MP09, it wasn't always immediately obvious that something was going to go bad with the toy.
True, you know,
they could take the first two pieces off the line, mess with them for 5 minutes, nothing melts in their hands, and they think it's fine. But, you know, if they played with it for an hour longer and their fingers had turned green.
Yeah.
Yep. Plus, it also seemed a lot of people didn't have the same problems across the board.
That's true. That quality control? Okay, so moving along.
Yeah, that's quality control. Things like the knees and elbows exploding out of their housings, that's design flaw.
Let's see here. So we have new photos. I do just want to cover this really quick because they are amazing. New photos of Black Arachnia, Slipstream, and
Nightbird.
I can't remember the other because I'm not looking at the news item anymore. I know Dawn is really taken by Black Arachnia, and she is really nice. As Dawn pointed out last week, I wasn't on. None of us were ever too crazy about that animated Black Arachnia mold, but it does look pretty cool.
Yeah, it does. It's amazing to the level of retooling that they're going to now to make these figures so wholly different. We thought Springer and Sandstorm was about, you know, like maybe like a one shot kind of thing. It's getting to be a semi regular occurrence now.
What do you mean?
Well, just the level that they went to for Springer and Sandstorm to remold one into the other. But that's something that only happened in a rare occasion.
No, they weren't remold. They were designed like that from the get go.
Oh,
now these Chromia was a remol.
Oh yeah, okay, that's a good example. Dude.
Yeah, but Black Arachnia is not nearly on that level. Black Arachnia has a new head and then right and left. That's the extent of the new parts on Black Arachnia.
It's just an exceptionally good paint job with the new accoutrements, and they do look
that's
much
a word
better.
For it.
Yeah.
Now, I guess she can fit in Titan Masters too.
Okay, it took me a second. Okay, so moving along. Slipstream looks really good. It's not the one that I'm looking forward to most, but I know that Matt
is. That's because you're wrong.
I know, yes. I know that Matt is.
Slipstream is exceptionally pretty is the thing.
Yeah. And Nightbird, which was one that I thought was going to be terrible, is amazing.
Looks fantastic. I know. Yeah.
I never thought I wanted a Nightbird figure, but here I am. I absolutely do. Really great. Okay, so let's see here. And that's it for official news. So, minimal Amazon shenanigans this week. Anybody get anything cool?
Well, I already talked about my mouse last week, so...
Mouse is pretty awesome. I, of course, did get my copy of Transformers Devastation, which can be your copy. You just have to like us on Facebook. Yeah. But go to tfradio.net, click on the Amazon link, or you can just go to tfradio.net/Amazon. So I will say this. I got an email yesterday asking me if you have to go to tfradio.net/Amazon before putting the item in your cart. And my assumption is yes. So just play it safe.
I would say yes.
So when I have tried to help out other sites and such by using their Amazon link, what I'll normally do, even if I have it in my cart, I'll clear out my cart, I'll go to their site, click on the banner, or click on the link, and go and then re-add stuff to my cart. And that should get them credit. And doing that should get us credit. So, thank you very much. So, moving along to third-party news, DX9 Hulky, unofficial mini Devastator. I know Rob Springer is actually really taken by this.
I'm pretty taken by it, too.
Yeah.
It's not something I can budget for. I can't budget for it to actually get it anytime soon. But
what's the price on it? Do we know?
As far as I understand, it's coming out in two packs for, I think, like $50 per.
Oh, $150. Well, that's about what they would charge for one of their masterpiece toys.
Well, and actually, too, like the third-party Legends figures tend to be like $35 to $40, depending. So a two of these for about $50 is actually lower than the average.
I think DX9 is becoming my favorite third-party company.
Well, I mean, at least they're doing something different by making these legend scale things a lot. You know, they're making large size figures too, because there's the Tyrant that we were talking about in pre-show. But no, I mean, like the legend stuff is actually interesting, and it's filling in something that, you know, maybe wouldn't get done soon otherwise, because the definition of what legends are for official toys keeps changing.
Yeah.
Plus, I like the engineering choices on this, keeping like 99% of the combiner parts integral.
Yeah, that's interesting for Devastator.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting in general, but it's just not something I ever account for with Devastator. Very cool, very cool. Let's see here, moving along. Fans Toys FT-07 Stomp, we have color photos of the Iron Dibots, not Sludge figure.
Oh, God.
That's the googly eyes.
Yeah.
Well, Sludge was actually my very first Transformer back in 86, when I got my first Transformer for my birthday.
Weren't the Dinobots 85 toys?
My birthday was in,
yes.
I think, well, okay, it was 80, anyway.
So whenever I make that mistake, it's easy because I was like 4.
Well, yeah.
Don was like 33.
Either way, you were 4, but you've had a lot of years to, like, realize that, okay, that wasn't that year, it was this year, because that's the year that was actually out.
But when you remember stuff like that, you don't take into consideration stuff like that. It's like, I remember meeting the real Santa Claus, but I know that it's not now.
But I knew that it wasn't then.
Yeah, well, you were
advanced. But I was a joyless child, so...
Yes.
Now you're a joyless adult.
Yeah, that's very true. I don't hate this. I'm certainly not getting it.
I don't hate this. Brian Kilby, 2015.
Yeah, I don't hate this, but I'm certainly not buying it.
Well, I have to say, unless their Grimlock is something so astronomically awesome.
There's no reason.
yeah, there's no reason for that because I have MP Grimlock. I'm happy with him. But Stomp will be the last one that I get from them to complete the Masterpiece Dinobots, and I'll be more than happy to get him.
He does
look
great.
That's the thing, too. Like, there is a pretty big bar that all of these companies doing the Masterpiece scale Dinobots have to overcome, which is Grimlock. Because every third-party Masterpiece Dinobot is made bigger than the official Masterpiece Grimlock. So you have to replace it. If they don't make something that's at least as good as the official one at the correct size, I mean, the whole set's basically screwed.
Which is why everybody's doing Grimlock last.
Uh-huh. Now, see, if it was me, I would do Grimlock first just to have that, you know, out of the way and accounted for before I get into anything else.
So, just a heads up, if you're following us on Twitter, at TF Radio, which you should be, Diecast is showing more photos from the event. So,
oh, good.
So he's posting more. But yeah, so I almost got the ooh. If they made a
Almost got the ooh.
Sorry, I was thinking of G2 Scoria, but we didn't get a G2 Sludge. So if we could get a G2-inspired Sludge, I would consider that. That would be pretty excellent, honestly. They'll probably do that, don't you think?
Well, I you know, if they do anything, it'll be the Snarl, what should come first, and then they'll probably do the characters that didn't have the G2 colors, just to judge, see how they do, probably.
So they did Scoria, which is in green, and also red.
Were planned G2 colors for all of the Dinobots.
Right, but I'm just saying they might do who was already done in originally before they go back and do a color that was never done.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, so did we talk through the Toy World Constructicon? I know we mentioned it before, but did we have the photo before?
I don't remember.
Does anybody care?
Diecast
I don't
does.
Particularly.
Yeah.
Diecast's not here.
Yeah.
So if you want to see Toy World's not Bone Crusher,
go to T-Formers.
Unofficial Devastator number 52.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, okay.
Well,
so
Devastator 9 from out of space.
Yeah.
Well,
that's right.
Yeah. Well, guys, y'all have talked me into it. I'm putting Slipstream and Nightbird into my shopping
cart.
Do
it before it's too late.
Yeah, because so y'all taught me. I'm not getting Black Arachne just because I have Transmorph.
She's
Black
naughty,
Arachne.
But yeah. So no, get these before you have to pay $50 or $60 or $70 for them each.
Yes,
yeah.
Because they all look fantastic.
So let's ignore the whole contest thing that we have for Devastation for the moment.
That's a horrible way to lead into this.
What do you guys? Diecast likes Transformers Devastation.
Diecast likes Transformers Devastation, but I watched his Let's Play video. Well, not even Let's Play, just his live stream video from yesterday, uh-huh. And maybe he's not the one to listen to about this.
Yeah. So,
John, like it doesn't like him.
Yeah. John has it. I have it. Matt has it. Guys, what do you think? John, are you there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm there.
You start. I think you have you've thought the most about this. I think.
Have I?
Well,
here's what this game needs to be. It needed to be Power Stone.
Yeah, that'd have been great.
That would have been awesome. Just an arena multiplayer battle royal thing where you just get 4 to 6 to 8 players and everybody just mashes buttons and Transformers fighting each other. Instead, we got this, which is just a one player, I guess. Would you even call it a dungeon crawler?
No.
To me, it looks more like a brawler.
It's a total
brawler.
It's
a brawler. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the combo system doesn't do dungeon crawlers justice. And the, my biggest thing with it is just how kind of,
monotonous.
Yeah. And the way the story is written and paced leaves a lot to be desired. And, let me ask you guys. My biggest buzzkill was how quickly the Devastator, the first Devastator fight, came, and how unsatisfying the finish to that fight was. What did you guys think about that?
So the first time I I fought Devastator, he beat the crap out of me. But then as soon as I uncovered the simple way to beat him, it was absolutely nothing at all to do it. It was completely
jump into the air and keep hitting the attack button.
Yeah, it was completely unsatisfying. My problem with it, the gameplay mechanics are not what I would imagine in a Transformers game. It would be basically, it's a generic gameplay system that has like generic combos, and it just happens to be a Transformers game. The art style I like okay, but it looks more like, it doesn't look like G1. It looks like Pat Lee art or something that's been animated. It's kind of weird.
Oh, it looks better than that.
It's like Jet Set.
No, I like this art style. Come on now.
It doesn't do a lot for me. One thing that always... Peter Cullen should not attempt to do G1 Optimus Prime anymore. He is not that person that he was 30 years ago.
I didn't have a problem with Peter Cullen's voice, but there are some voice actors that...
Okay, before that, though, I just want to point out, in some of the clips I've seen, even before the game came out, there's places where Cullen is hitting the sound of cartoon Optimus. It's the writing that's the problem, because none of it is letting him use contractions. So he is sounding more like drawn out and slowly considered, and that's not what that version of the character Optimus is. If he could talk a little bit faster and more informally, you would still get that cartoon Optimus, even with Cullen being a little bit older.
I could see that, and a little less bass in the voice.
I thought he did cartoon Optimus just fine and more for Cybertron.
It still wasn't quite right for me. I don't know. Maybe the voice is too high fidelity compared to the audio that we used to get back in the day. I don't know.
Well, all the voices are filtered different than in the cartoon. Also,
this is true. The gameplay style is a little. It's really generic. The combo system's fun, but it could be anything. It doesn't really scream Transformers. As I pointed out on Twitter yesterday, I have many fond memories of Bumblebee thrusting himself into Megatron to drop his shield so the Optimus Prime can get a clean shot at him over and over and over again. So, I mean, the gameplay style is just, it's just off. It's not novel, like the Gears of War style gameplay sort of that we had with War for Cybertron the first time. It doesn't do a lot for me. But on the plus side, it's cheap. It's only $20. Oh wait, no, it's not. It's $50 game. It really feels like it's a $20 Xbox Live Arcade download. But you know what? You can get it for free, just like on Facebook. Share the post.
You can either pay $50 to buy this game, or you can sacrifice your dignity by entering the contest.
Yes,
up to you.
Yes,
but I don't have the game. I can't play it. I haven't got the system.
You would like it, Don.
But, you know, do your, you know, no, never mind.
No, I'm kidding.
You guys are making it sound worse than it is. I mean, it is mindless fun, at the very least.
I didn't have a lot of fun with it.
It's fun to boot it up. And then 5 minutes
I enjoy picking seekers out of the air with my pulse rifle. Thank you very much.
Yeah, like... Just from my perspective watching the gameplay, there is definitely things in it I would enjoy doing. And I'm going to go out and say, I think, Kilby and John, you may have built up the game a little bit more in your head with the promo materials.
And they're obviously more hardcore gamers than I am as well. Like, I am, like, the most casual gamer.
Yeah, and we've talked about that before, too. Like, this is not targeted at that kind of gamer. It's targeted more at the every gamer who has the nostalgia memories of Transformers.
Yeah, who wants to kill an hour or whatever, you know, mashing
$50, it's not worth $50. Well,
that's kind of maybe a failure of the marketing, though, because, you know, Platinum games tend to be targeted more at, you know, hardcore action gamers more than more casual people. So that's, you know, that may just be a case of cross purposes between the marketing and what the game actually is.
Well, yeah, now, Rob and John, with y'all two being, you know, heavier in video games than I am,
we're shut in gamers. Yes.
Are we looking at a situation where the downloadable content that, if any, becomes available later on, might change this game, in your opinion?
I can't imagine, leave a bad taste in my mouth that I'm paying for the rest of it.
I mean, I can't imagine there not being downloadable content in the current gaming society.
I kind of can, just because this is, you know, given the fact that no outlet got a copy of this to review before release, this is not one of the things that Activision is putting, you know, maximum time and effort into. So it's entirely possible that in terms of downloadable content, the alternate skins that were available as pre-order bonuses are going to be it.
On the Transformers game Facebook page, where most of the pre-release stuff was coming out of, they were even saying flat out, there's no DLC planned for the game right now.
Okay.
There wasn't even a day one patch, which is unheard of at this point.
Because, see, Paladin raised a good point. He would hope that when you got some downloadable content...
Happy birthday, Paladin.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Paladin, that you could play as Devastator in... You know, reverse it and play as Devastator, which I thought would be a great idea for some DLC to sort of flip the game around. But there's no
so Optimus Prime could jump up and smack you in the face a couple times and you fall over.
I do feel like compelled to say this. This game would have been a lot better if it was 10 years ago or 7 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
But we're at the point now where a game can't just throw in G1 designs and G1 voice actors and expect that to carry the day. And I feel like that's what this game was. And we've been – the target for this game is us, and we've been flooded since 2005, 6 with G1. Yeah. So like the novelty of it being a G1 thing, that's fine. But that can't be, like, why it exists. And I feel like that's kind of why this exists.
Well,
and that's a shame.
I'm hoping at TFCon there's at least maybe – I'm not sure if Hasbro's going to be there or not. I'm just saying a booth or something for those of us who can't play it. At least there's a booth in some fashion set up for people to play it.
I have a feeling that if even if there's nothing official, you will not have a problem finding a place to play it at the con.
Yeah,
because I'm going to have to buy a system to play this game if I choose to get it, and I don't really.
This is not a game that I would buy a system to support.
No. Well, it's. Oh, well, I'm,
I bought
I'm
a system
saying,
for Mario Maker.
Now
I bought a system
Don,
for Arkham Knight, and I kind of regret it.
Now, granted, Don, if you were to get a 360 or a PS3 for this, you could also get 4 for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron, and those three taken together, I would say might well justify a console.
Yeah.
And you can get a PS3.
Yeah.
You can get a PS3 relatively cheap these days.
Yeah. Plus, I do want to.
I'm sorry.
Plus, I do want to play The Last of Us as well. So.
Yeah. So PS3 is just about the right choice for you then. Plus, you know, if you did have any kind of inclination to do any of the online stuff with War and Fall, you can do that without having to pay extra on a PS3.
Ah, and you know, Don, if you get a PS3, you can also get 1 or 2 Batride War.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Neat. Okay.
Because it's not region locked.
Also, Gundam Breaker, which is the closest to a Gundam Build Fighters game we're ever going to get.
Yeah. Basically, like, if you do, seriously consider that you want to play this game and you would resort to buying a used last-gen console for it, PS3.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's other stuff you can get on it to help amortize the cost.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so, anybody else?
Okay, so, Rob, have you watched any of the gameplay video since this has come out?
No, I haven't.
Because, like, the little bit I've looked at, I get the distinct feeling that if this had gone more into, like, the Gundam Versus style of gameplay, where, you know, you have these distinct arenas, but in this case you have, like, bridges between them that you can travel from one place to the other to facilitate the story mode. But it's set up where, you know, you've got a bigger roster to choose from. You know, I mean, you know what it's like playing Gundam Versus Zeta.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if it was a little bit more like that, and you had the option to play the other side, I think some of the shortfalls that are being seen with it probably wouldn't be as, like, acute.
I think,
like,
if
it really embraced the arcade style of gameplay and ran with that more, that's the kind of feeling I'm getting from this. It doesn't. There's things about this that look fun to me from the outside, but probably don't support, like, drawn out focused campaign.
Yeah, I understand there's also a challenge mode in it, which sounds very much like the mission mode that is in some of the later Gundam Versus games. So, yeah, you know, I think you're right. Going that route would have given it a lot more, you know, replay value than it seems to have at the moment.
Yeah, it needed to be approached more like an arcade game on a console than a story game.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's really going to end up coming down to.
Hey, neat. Ant just tweeted out that we're getting a Legends Ratchet. It's Prime Ratchet.
Weird. Is that the little Legion strong arm recolor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool. Very cool. Okay. Let's see here. Night Strike Bumblebee. Oh, never mind. I thought that looked more awesome until I actually saw it. Okay.
I think it looks okay, but it's, you know, just another freaking Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Bumblebee. So I didn't see the head, and I saw the yellow and the green, and I'm like, oh, who is this? And I'm like, oh, it's Bumblebee.
Yeah. I do like the teal, but...
When you see yellow, just look away. That's like a rule at this point.
Yeah.
And I have to say this just for Chris. Legacy Falcon Zord. Apparently it's been shown.
Yeah, I saw it earlier. Also the Legacy Communicator, which totally looked like an $80 piece of merchandise.
Okay, cool. So let's see here. On the network this week, Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek. Which episode did you do this week?
Remember that episode of Star Trek Voyager where Kes comes back and is old and insane?
That's a terrible episode.
Yes, and it ended up reflecting real life 15 years later.
Oh, yeah, she is a mess. Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's true.
I'm told this is one of the best episodes of the podcast we've done, though.
I can't wait to listen to it. Gotta hate Voyager. Let's see here. And on
we do, too, and I think that's what helped.
And on Superhero Time. Anything cool?
It's Superhero Time.
There you go.
They're talking about Dino Charge.
That's Dino Charge.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So Dino Charge is good, I hear.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
Probably, if you don't like Power Rangers... in the past, this could be a very good show to get you involved in the series.
This would be a good first series. It's very high quality.
And you're watching subs, pardon me?
Well, no, the Power Rangers Dino Charge is, you know, an English production.
Oh, it's not Super Sentai.
It's not Sentai.
Right.
Okay. So I was thinking, I'm watching fan subs of Dragon Ball Super right now.
Right.
I'm going to go back to that once we get back to the filler.
Filler is the best part.
Let me tell you, Battle of Gods did the current storyline a lot better than the show is doing.
I realized that when we got to the How Dare You Hit My Bulma episode, and they took that nice little bit and beat it to death with a stick. That is when I stopped Dragon Ball Super until we get back to the filler.
So I haven't.
They also completely ruined the actual fight between Goku and Beerus.
You mean
I'm not surprised.
It's only four episodes long now. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's longer than the actual movie.
It's longer than the movie.
It's only four episodes long and counting right now.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see here. Also on the network, Get the Skinny episode 25. John tells us more about CrossFit, and I talk about the Disney diet.
Yeah, meaning really? Lose a lot of weight?
No, just meaning that at Disney I didn't eat a lot, but I lost weight, so there you go.
Because of the cost or the bad food? Or
being sick, being on my feet, and not having time. I mean, I had a lot of calories. It was mostly diet soda. I had a Sprite. I only had one beverage that had caffeine. And I went to Giordano's.
And it was a Sprite.
I mean, not caffeine, sugar.
And it was a Sprite. Do you comprehend the mistake you made there?
I said caffeine and Sprite. I meant sugar and Sprite.
Right, and it was a Sprite.
What about...
Like, do you comprehend... It's a Sprite.
I like Sprite. Yeah, Sprite Zero is great. But let's see here. I did have Giordano's, which was excellent. And we ended up throwing three quarters of it out because...
Jerk.
We didn't have enough, you know, just too much food. Okay.
Brian, you could have brought it back, froze it, and then taken it to TFCon, and we all could have noshed on it.
I could have left it out in the open for 2 weeks, and we could have seen what that would have done to your, you know, digestive system.
Well, if Don can survive his cat, he can survive anything.
This is true. On the RFC minicast this week, John and Ant talk about what they expect to see at New York Comic Con. So how many hits and how many misses did you have, John?
I was going to say, go back and make heads and tails of it. We got Blaster and we pretty much guessed it, roughly what we were going to see. I mean, I'm
Skull
afraid
Hunter?
We didn't call Galvatron, sorry.
We should have made a bingo card.
We should have. With Massey heads on it. Like numbered.
Yeah.
Why not?
Oh, you know.
I want Massey merch. Let's go to Zazzle tonight. Don.
Yes.
Let's go. Let's make
you know, I was actually thinking about this. You know, if I do a review show, I want to have 1 through 5 Massey attacks. The level of severity of the Massey attack is my rating system.
I see. And the worst things would be 5 Massey attacks.
Right.
It would be an inverted scale.
It's like a really weird Yelp rating system.
No, it would be Yelp. I'd be yelling for help.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's see here. Also on Being Awesome with Rob Springer, Rob talks about Halloween. And on my podcast, the Happy Day Podcast, which is my podcast, me living out my life in redneck radio for 16 years, I talk about Walmart. I talk about what the youth of my hometown do for fun. And I talk about...
It's basically just walking around Walmart, isn't it?
You listened, didn't you? So, no, I'm kidding. So, that's basically it. And
it's the same thing here.
Yeah. It's small town life, but have fun with that show. You can. I don't link it to the from the website, but it is at briankilby.com/radio, and you should check
because
it out.
Because he's ashamed of it.
It doesn't really fit our format.
What is our format?
Nerd stuff. This is not nerd stuff. This is more... people
three, three and a quarter floppy.
No.
Oh, my God.
Actually, it would be 64 kbps MP3. Mono. But those are fun. Okay. And,
our format is real media.
Yeah. Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Well, just about the only thing we haven't covered yet is my review for Robots in Disguise number 3. That's the animated version, of course. It's a decent, solid little comic, you know, all ages comic. And, you know, I don't know what better to say about it. It's nothing particularly groundbreaking, but it's executed very well. So
cool.
It's worth a look.
Very cool. Okay. Well, I don't have anything else. Make sure, though, that you follow us on Twitter at TF Radio, because Diecast is still tweeting out stuff. And again, follow us or like us on Facebook and share the link for a chance to win this amazing copy of Transformers Devastation for Xbox 360. And it is only Xbox 360 and U.S. fans
it's
only.
It's free.
It's free, so.
Okay, so Ant just tweeted the Blue Drift is, the working name is Arctic Camo.
That's interesting.
It's like an in-show tie-in.
Yeah, the TF Wiki added that the store listings call the Optimus Prime Blizzard Strike Optimus Prime, so that may be the official title for that drift, too.
I was thinking Arctic Camo might have been a reference to that Ruination release from...
But that wasn't blue, although it would be nice if it was.
The name was Arctic. It was Arctic Camo, wasn't that the name of it?
Huron Camo.
Well, did it even... Wasn't it just Universe...
I don't remember.
Like, wasn't the whole camo thing a fan designation?
I saw that a while ago when I was going through boxes, take stuff to TFCon to sell, and it's just Universe, and it's basically like a city, the various grays and blacks,
urban camo.
Yeah, urban camo. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Well, that's it. We'll be back next week.
Bye-bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez.
geez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?